I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. You may not know it, but when you're discharged from the hospital or making an appointment with your physician or other health professional, there's a team of highly trained individuals working hard to try to make that process better. These behind-the-scenes efforts are the focus of this week's edition of Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine. Dr. Greg recently spoke with Jess Clouser with the Center for Health Services Research at the University of Kentucky. She's the manager for Project Achieve, an initiative funded by the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute, or PCORI, nationally recognized leaders in healthcare and research methods, which strives to improve the patient experience.
Its overarching goals are to understand what patients and family caregivers want from care transitions, which essentially is the process when you are discharged from the hospital, either to home or to another site of care, a skilled nursing facility, rehab, that sort of facility. It's focused on a Medicare population as one of the larger groups, healthcare expenditure groups. Mm-hmm. And so its two goals are to first understand what patients and family caregivers want from those transitions, and then to evaluate what hospitals are doing related to those transitions to find out what is most impactful on patient outcomes.
I guess one thing I think of, Jess, is the care that one might receive in a hospital is so intensive. You've got physicians, nurses, social workers, technologists, everybody sort of hovering about helping you. And then oftentimes, at least in the past, once you were wheeled to the front of the hospital and given your discharge papers and sent home, everything seemed to fall apart for a lot of those patients, many of them bouncing back within days, perhaps because they didn't understand post-care instructions, or in some cases didn't receive any, didn't have a clinic appointment for 8 weeks or something like that. Is that the type of thing we're talking about?
Exactly. That is exactly what we're finding. And when we're talking to patients and family caregivers specifically, those are the things that we're learning from them. A hospital might feel like they're doing everything that they can to prepare patients and anyone who's helping them through the process. But the understanding that you are trying to communicate things that are very familiar to yourself are very unfamiliar to the patients that you're talking to. And these patients might have been undergoing medication or really strenuous surgeries, or they're maxed out in terms of, they're physically maxed out, might not be sleeping well. And so what patients have told us is essentially through these, let me pause and back up because now getting into the actual first part of the research that we've done. Mm-hmm. So the first part of the study, we've actually talked to about 250 patients and family caregivers across the United States to get a sense of what they wanted from these care transitions. And we've learned from them that they basically want three main things. One is to feel cared for and cared about. They want doctors and nurses and their supporting staff to approach them as people, to sincerely communicate their concern for them, and to show that through their language and gestures. They also want to have that information. They want to know what to expect when they leave the hospital, because what we found from these interviews is that some likened it to feeling like they were walking into the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And those were actually a patient's terms. I felt like I was walking into the wilderness, and you don't know the vastness of what you don't know until you're outside the hospital and you're searching for answers, and you might not know who to call or how to get those answers. And then we also found a third thing is that they really wanted clear accountability on behalf of the hospital or medical staff, who they could call if they had any questions once they were home, who they could talk to in order to get answers.
Sort of like an ombud, somebody that they could call that they know, even if they don't have the answer, would help them find the answer.
Yeah.
As opposed to going through a phone tree and being on hold for half a day?
Yeah, exactly. There are a lot of names that you encounter when you're in the hospital. You might see numerous physicians. You might be seeing specialists. You certainly have maybe a few nurses that have worked through their shifts. Having a clear understanding of who is responsible for your care is really important. Because this is hitting patients at a time when they're feeling particularly vulnerable. Like you said, you're in a highly intense environment where a lot of people are, you know, giving you attention. You might not even be able to sleep because you're being seen every few hours, and then suddenly you're in your house, and you've got whatever skills you were able to pick up while you were in the hospital on how to care for yourself.
I know a lot of folks are given written instructions upon leaving the hospital that are written in fairly plain language, because I know one occupational hazard a lot of healthcare providers have is, like you mentioned, thinking that perhaps the jargon they use or the technical terms they use are second nature, and yet what we think is second nature or common parlance may be Greek to our patients, and compounded with the fact that they've got a 3-hour drive to their home county coming up and they're scared and anxious. I always think of the adults in the Charlie Brown specials, you know, that all you hear is a bunch of random noises. And I think sometimes that's how our patients perceive us as they're being discharged. I know Danielle Ofri has written a lot about this. She's an internist in New York, about better communication with patients. Are there specific goals or research papers that are coming out of this study in order to help doctors and nurses and others in these transitions?
Yeah, well, we have recently published findings from these focus groups that I mentioned, the ones that covered 250 patients and family caregivers. And these were actually conducted at 6 different healthcare systems across the United States, so to try to get a diversity of perspectives in places like Kentucky and Louisiana, Colorado, California, and Pennsylvania and New England. And this paper actually identifies the 3 things that the patients and family caregivers mentioned wanting from care transitions, as well as provider behaviors that can help achieve those outcomes. So we found, for example, that, you know, kind of related to the need to feel prepared for what they would confront when they go home, some provider behaviors that were linked to that were providing actionable information about what you can expect and kind of anticipating what the patient needs would be. Patients really expected that, maybe more so than providers might realize. But they did want them to kind of look into the future and see what are some of the contingencies that you might experience, and what sort of symptomology might you experience, prepare me for anything that I might confront, and then communicate that in as close to lay terms as you can, provide me the skills that I need, because again, this might be a completely new situation that I'm entering into. It might not be something that I have experience with. But then also checking back and seeing if the patient understood. So teach back was also kind of mentioned, not in those terms, but the idea of checking back in with the patient after you've given them important information and seeing, did they understand it? Can they actually do the skill that I've tried to teach them?
And you know, hearing about this, Jess, it seems there's a lot of sort of golden rule being applied here, that this is what we would want for ourselves and for our loved ones. And on a more, I guess, purely Machiavellian level, I would think it could be nothing but good could come out of this, if for nothing else, decreasing the number of readmissions to hospital, because people go home, they don't understand what was said, they don't see warning signs of issues, or don't call for help when they need to. So not only is this intuitively the right thing to do for our patients, but it would probably save the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare a lot of money as well.
Yeah, and that's one of the overall goals of the Project Achieve in general, is we will actually be looking at different strategies that hospitals employ to improve these care transitions, and then we'll be looking at, we're surveying patients at 42 hospital sites across the country from the hospitals that we're gathering that information on what they're doing. we'll be talking to patients that were discharged from those hospitals, surveying them on what their experience was, so to try to get a sense of, okay, the hospital says they're doing this and this to aid your transition. Did you experience that same kind of strategy? And then we're also going to be looking at their Medicare claims outcomes. So we'll be seeing what strategies have led to increased utilization of services, increased hospitalizations, ED visits or emergency department visits. But we're also, because this work is funded through the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute, we're also interested in what patient-centered outcomes. So a patient might not be as interested in reducing the number of times they come back to the hospital. That might be something we care about. What might be more important to them is quality of life or not being a burden on their family. So we also have questions in our surveys to tap some things that might be more important to the patient population as well.
I think you've touched on something that I've thought a lot about over the years, both as a caregiver and as a patient, and that is knowing that those who care for us truly do care. I think it's one thing to have technical skill and knowledge. It's another thing to know that the person taking care of you is actually seeing you as a person. And again, I would think that could only result in a healthier outcome regardless of the patient and their particular issues.
And that was another finding from our focus group interviews. We found that, you know, as patients said, they wanted to be cared for and cared about. And some of the examples that they mentioned in terms of how providers can communicate that concern by sitting down when talking to them, by really trying to use sincere language and gestures, making that effort to make the connection. Again, it could be something that's very easy on the provider perspective to think they're doing that. Although they might, you know, in the back of your head, I can't imagine not thinking about all the different people that you might be seeing throughout the course of the day. It could be easy to lose sight of the importance of every single one in terms of how they're experiencing that exchange. So not only did they say that they liked that, but it seemed that adherence to the care plan was improved when they felt like they were seen as a person and communicated with compassionately. So there are benefits on many sides.
My thanks to Jess Clouser, the project manager of Project Achieve of the UK Center for Health Services Research, for talking with me about Project Achieve and how we're always trying to make things better for patients and their healthcare professionals. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org. And for information on becoming an underwriter, contact Gail Bennett at 257-7049.